Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Good Sunday morning, and thank you for tuning in to Catch My Drift. A lot going on this week. I woke up this morning, and there was even some more breaking news overnight, so we'll get to all that in a little bit. Welcome to the show. You can email me, gary@thedailydrift.com, or feel free to call in at any time, 734-822-1600. Love to get your calls and opinions. After all, it is your show as well as mine. And your opinions are valid, even if they don't agree with me, wouldn't you say? Well, it looks like we might have a phone call coming in this early already. Our sponsor this half hour is The Rock Shop out on Gottfredson Road. If you take M14 to exit 15 and go north on Gottfredson Road, there you'll see it at the corner of North Territorial and Gottfredson Roads. Now, a lot of us like to go for drives on Sundays, and if you're in that area driving down M14, just stop in and see what they've got. I mean, you want to talk about some really unique stuff. You may walk out with a cool little fountain. They have all their fountains and stuff off, 50% off for the fall. And just go in and tell Marco and Helena and the gang that Gary sent you. It's a great little place to spend, you know, half an hour pondering what you would like to put in your gardens. So their phone number is 734-455-5560. Or you go to therockshop.com. That's rockshop.com. And what's nice is they'll point you in the right direction for if you want to do some hardscape in your business or your home. And they'll teach you how to do it for free. Now, where do you get that kind of instruction? You don't, but you do get it at The Rock Shop. So make sure you give those guys a call, 734-455-5560. And now's the time to actually do some planning for, you know, it's cooler outside so you can get some work done around the house. And they've got a great selection of stuff. They really do. So stop in, see them, poke around amongst the statues and fountains and garden benches and see what Marco and Helena got. So we have a phone call on line one. Let's go with Jenny from Brownstown. Good morning, Jenny. How are you?
Morning. How are you doing, bro?
Good, good. Good to see you.
I have a quick question. I'm going to get my absentee ballot probably next week.
Okay.
And I have a question about Proposal 4.
Okay.
And that's the background checks on the home health care workers.
Okay.
It sounds good to me, but is there a liberal catch in it?
There is a huge liberal catch to Proposal 4. In fact, I'm going to put this out there. I know somebody who's very intelligent on this, and I would like that person to call in if they're listening, and I think they are today. But Proposal 4, everything that Proposal 4 does is being done right now. All Proposal 4 does is secure the union's hold on the Constitution. It takes this. You've probably heard me talk about it before. SEIU and Jennifer Granholm had this little scam going where they took all the healthcare workers in the state who were receiving Medicaid funds or Medicare funds, as federal funds, to take care of people. Now, 70% of those people, Jenny, are people who are taking care of family members. Could be a mom or dad who are so old and debilitated they need Medicare help and somebody at home to help them. It could be a mom or dad who have a child with cerebral palsy and they're not rich, so they have to get some Medicaid to help take care of them. And what this does is it actually drives up the cost of care because these people have to now pay part of that check that they get to take care of their family members. That goes to the unions. So it's the unions actually sucking money away from the infirmed, the disabled, those who really need help. I mean, how criminal, frankly, is it to be taking money from people who need it most? And that's the infirm, the elderly, those who can't take care of themselves. And that's what this proposal does. And it enshrines it into the Constitution of all things. You know, 70,000 people may seem like a lot, but, you know, it's a small special interest. And like 90% of the people who got sucked into this union had no idea they were being sucked into it. They wanted nothing to do with it. They didn't get a chance to vote on it. It was just a scam put out there by SEIU and their cohorts.
That.
Yeah, it's terrible. If you go to the Michigan CapCon website, you will actually see how many millions of dollars this scumbag union has sucked out of the coffers all through this scheme of Jennifer Granholm's. And it's criminal, frankly, if you ask me. That's my opinion. It's outrageous. It's certainly unethical to be taking money from the poorest, from the people who need it the most, the elderly and the infirmed and the disabled. It's sickening to me. And you're not the only one. There are a lot of people who think, oh, it's good. It's going to make sure people are taken care of. Well, part of that deal is a 900 a registry that the state says they're doing. They've already got that registry for people. 900 out of the 70,000 people are on that registry because most people don't want anything to do with it.
Okay.
Now most private duty firms already go and double-check the backgrounds of people who they're going to hire.
That's what I thought.
Yes, absolutely they do. And if you're just your own person and you say you're an elderly adult and you want to bring somebody in, you can go online and you can pay like $5 to Intellius, and Intellius will give you the background check on anybody. You know, absolutely anybody. You can find out anything you need by paying $5, or if you're going to do it long term, get a membership with them. They will give you the background criminal check, if they paid their taxes, if they're behind on their credit rating, and everything else. So you can find all that out about people, and you don't need this crap from the unions to put Proposition 4 onto the ballot and try and enshrine this into the Constitution. It's absolutely criminal. We did. A lot of this last week, if you can get last week's podcast, have somebody pull it up for you and try and listen to it. We had Jarrett Scorp on from Michigan CapCon, and he really hit it. So if there's any way that you can go get a podcast or whatnot, and we'll probably hit it again before the election comes up. But proposal
four. Yeah, you told me enough. I mean, I'm going to pass this around.
Yeah, please do, Jenny. Please do.
Yeah, because there's people that I know that are duped by this one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because they're putting out these you know, there's a sheriff who comes on TV and says, oh, yes, we want to do this.
I saw that one.
That man is a moron. He's an absolute moron. If he believes it himself, he's an idiot. But more than likely, he's enshrined with the unions in some way himself.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So don't fall for this Proposition 4. It's sheer and utter nonsense. And, Jenny, I want you to give your phone number again to Derek because, once again, I've lost it. I put it in my bag, and my bag is like Pandora's box. It goes in there and disappears. So
that's okay.
Okay? So, yes, don't vote for Prop 4, and make sure you give that to anybody you can think of. That
I will.
No on 4. It's an absolute disaster.
Okay.
Okay? Thanks, Jenny.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Okay, so there you go. I mean, this ballot crap that they're putting on this year is absolutely unbelievable. Don't believe anything you're reading or hearing in the media, the mainstream media, because it's just utter nonsense. You don't want to have anything to do with Proposal 4. Vote no. And frankly, anything that's got something to do with the Constitution, just say no with. Don't mess with the Constitution of the state of Michigan. Okay, Proposal 2 is the same way. Don't enshrine Proposal 2. We're going to get to that in a minute. Don't follow or fall for the nonsense that these people put on you. Okay, so our sponsor again this half hour was the Rock Shop, 734-455-5560. I'm off my game a little bit, if you can bear with me. Let's go to something a little more local here. This morning, AnnArbor.com was talking about, well, let me start on the other end here. You may have, if you've been watching the news, in New York, the Transit Authority was sued because conservative Pamela Geller wanted to put some anti-Islamic ads on the sides of buses. And the New York MTA, Metropolitan Transit Authority, did not want to do that. Well, she won her case, and they did put them on. And that's a victory for freedom of speech, right? So they now have buses running around that have these anti-jihadists. Well, what's wrong with anti-jihadists, man? Jihadists want to kill us. So they won that case, but now in New York, they're thinking of changing the rules a little bit to try and weed that out to keep that from happening again. So I noticed this morning on AnnArbor.com, we have our own little take on that. The Ann Arbor Transit Authority was trying to keep off an anti-Israeli ad off of their buses. And a judge, Flint federal judge Mark Goldsmith, says the agency's policy in favor of ads that are in good taste is vague and unconstitutional, which means this individual by the name of Blaine Coleman says he wants to put ads that would have a skull and crossbone that says boycott Israel and boycott apartheid. Well, all right, I guess freedom of speech cuts both ways. So freedom of speech says go ahead and let him do it. If you're going to take ads from people, you got to take ads from anybody. But the unfortunate part is, what is wrong with this Blaine Coleman being a big Israeli hater? I mean, obviously doesn't understand what is going on in Israel. Have the Palestinians been given a bad shake? Well, yes, but you can blame the rest of their Arab brothers for that. Go back to the 1967 war, fella. Do your homework. I mean, I think this man, I'll be politically incorrect, this man's socially retarded to be wanting to blame Israel for what's going on in the Middle East. We have Julia on line four, and she wants to talk about Proposal 4. Julia, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Gary. Nice to be here. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good, thank you. I am very interested in Proposal 4. I represent the National Private Duty Association Michigan chapter and have been very involved over the years with this group. And, you know, we do represent private duty home care, which will definitely be affected by this proposal.
Now, do you think this proposal will actually, I mean, private duty people, even if you're not getting Medicaid money, will that drive up the cost to people?
Well, it's absolutely going to drive up the cost. Anytime you add union dues into the mix, wages are going to go up. And already this is an expensive service. So for people, you know, who are on Medicaid, it's just going to drive the cost of everything up. It's just not a good plan at all. There is a bill currently in the works to license private duty home care, and we believe that that's going to provide all of the protection for the consumer that is necessary in terms of background checks, in terms of training, and it would really bring a much higher standard of care to the industry overall. And we've been advocating and working on a bill for a number of years with a couple of different groups in the state to make sure that consumers are protected. And I don't believe this is a constitutional issue. I think this is an industry standards issue. And that's why National Private Duty Association Michigan chapter opposes this bill. This is not a constitutional issue. This is a question of putting the right measures in place to protect the consumer through good, high-quality care and training and standards of care. And it does not need to be part of the Constitution where the union is in the middle of all of this.
Right.
It's not, it's just, that's just not the way to go about it. And part of the issue, the initiative comes out of the Michigan Quality Community Care Council that our present governor defunded in the legislature in the 2011-12 budget. This is the effort to bring that initiative back. It was originally created under Governor Granholm, and our present Governor Snyder got rid of it, and this is the result. This is the comeback to that. Now they want this thing in the Constitution so that they can continue to skim these union dues from this group of private registry-based home helpers that are currently working and the recipients of the care are being funded through Medicaid. So it's kind of a almost like a shell organization. I mean, it's very, very sketchy in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a total scheme. And what's disgusting is the legislature did pass the law to stop it. The governor signed the law. The attorney general wanted them to stop and told them to stop. And the union just went ahead and filed a court case and got a stay on it. And they're still sucking money out of all these people's pockets.
Right.
You know,
right.
I am outraged. And I'm glad to see that the private sector, the market, is actually trying to fix this problem itself with its own sponsored legislation. So,
right.
And that's the way it should happen, you know.
Right. What people don't really realize is that, you know, private duty home care or private pay home care is probably a better descriptor, is when you engage an agency and you bring a caregiver in your home for a couple of hours a day, or maybe it's 24 hours a day, to take care of you in your home. And you know, as far as being in healthcare, the desire is for people to stay in their own homes. And so this is a wonderful way to do that. And, you know, private duty home care agencies, just because of, you know, the desire to stay in business, are self-regulating. They're conducting background checks. They're doing reference checks. Any, you know, good agency is going to be doing all of those things. We do not need a constitutional amendment to enforce that. That's just good business practice. The other flip side of that is what the consumer really doesn't understand is that this is an industry that is not regulated in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, while, you know, too many regulations are not necessarily a good thing, we have been working, as I said, on this bill to bring some order to this industry and to have some standards in terms of training requirements, minimum, you know, continuous education for the caregivers. Of course, the background checks and all of that will be written into law, and we're hoping that the bill will go through next year. So we're very excited, and again, I want the consumers to know that the industry is taking care of good business practice. We do not need a union effort to so-called, you know, provide this kind of oversight and care. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's not even a union issue, frankly, because none of these people work for any company. They're all mostly independent contractors.
They're private individuals. Yeah. They're private individuals who, if they join this registry, probably won't even realize that part of their compensation, which, by the way, is funded through Medicaid, is going straight back into the union coffers. And they will have no say in the matter if this bill goes through. And it doesn't do anything to protect, you know, the elderly at all. That is the biggest outrage, is the way that these ads have been framed.
Right. Well, that's what the liberal left and the, well, frankly, they're socialists, if you ask me. Julia, thank you so much for your call. Very educational. I appreciate that. And thanks for educating the listeners.
You're very welcome. Thanks, Gary. Take care.
You too. Okay, so there you go. You do not want to vote for Prop 4. That simple. It's a scam. It's putting special interest money into the unions. It's putting special interest enshrinement into the Constitution of the state of Michigan. This is not what the Constitution is for. The Constitution is to protect all of us as a whole, not special interests. And that's what most of these do at this point. So let's, it's too late to take a break, so let's just keep rolling, Derek. I know you wanted to take that break. Let's run, we were talking about freedom of speech and bus advertising. You know, when you take bus advertising like that, and it's a public agency, so they have to follow certain rules. When you get public funding, you have to abide by the rules of fairness. And so Ann Arbor, it doesn't say that they're going to have to put these ads on yet, but they've lost the court case. The Ann Arbor Transportation Authority says it turns down ads that ridicule people. They think this ad from Coleman would maybe turn away riders. People who use the bus have no choice but to use the bus. So, frankly, I don't think that's a valid excuse. People don't take the bus for pleasure. Derek, have you ever taken the bus because you felt like getting on it for no reason? Yeah, I mean, you take the bus because you have to. I think I've ridden a bus maybe once, and it was because I had to. There's certainly not an enjoyable place. There's no TVs. There's no special drinks on the bus. So people who take the bus do it because they have to. So they don't frankly care, I think, what's on the bus. They may have a little outrage on it. But, you know, that's freedom of speech, and that's what we put up with. I may not like Blaine Coleman's attitude, but if he's willing to spend money to protest Israel, well, knock yourself out, bud. Go ahead and put it on there. I think you're a social retard, but that's just my opinion, and I'm just one man. So, but I do support your, you know, to the death, I support your right to go ahead and be a social retard and put that on there. So knock yourself out, brother. Put your anti-slogans on there if you can afford to pay for it. Now, let's go back to Prop 2, which is kind of like Proposition 4 in that it enshrines in the Constitution union rights. Enshrines in the Constitution union rights. Now, mainly this is for public sector union people, which is 3% of the population. You want to talk about special interest? 3% of the population work for the government. Now, you tell me, I do not know of any government employee who's been mistreated, who's forced to work long, hot, sweaty hours in an unair-conditioned office. Do you, Derek? Have you ever been into a Secretary of State's office that's unair-conditioned? No. And do those people look pressed for work? They take their breaks regardless of how long the lines are. You know, there's no reason to have unions in the public sector to begin with. Let's face that fact. Teachers, are teachers really, I mean, there are some bad school districts. You know, I wouldn't want to be a teacher in public schools in Detroit simply because they don't have a lot to work with and the students are probably fairly unruly in many instances. So, yes, that may, but they get compensated for it. And they get their summers off, or at least part of their summers off. And, you know, I understand. I'm not bagging on you thinking it's an easy job. I respect teachers. You do a wonderful job, 99% of you. But there is 1% of you who don't do it, okay? So Prop 2 has changed its name. It was, they were calling it the Protect Our Jobs proposition or ballot amendment. That wasn't getting them where they wanted. So now they've kind of expanded it and called it Protecting Working Families proposal. This is nonsense. I mean, you can keep changing the names of these things. You're not. It tells me one thing. If you're changing the name of a proposition several times, you're just trying to market it. And this is just, again, special interest trying to get stuck into the Constitution. And that's something we don't want to have. Vincent Vernuccio, Director of Labor Policy at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, says no amount of window dressing can change the fact that this would change the power structure in Michigan and allow union contracts to overrule laws already passed by our elected representatives. Now, we talked about this last week. If you approve Proposal 2, what you're giving the unions is the power to say to Lansing, we don't like that law you just passed, and it's unconstitutional, so you can't pass that law. Now, right now, the legislature in Michigan and the Senate and Governor Snyder have signed a number of laws, and this is what kind of drove the unions into this tizzy, that saving taxpayers $1.6 billion a year right now. And if you vote for Proposal 2 and you enshrine this constitutional unionism into the Constitution, you will be costing yourselves money. That's $1.6 billion of your money. And these guys will be able to say to any of that legislature, we trump over you because of the Constitution. So again, another proposal we don't want to get into. And here's another good reason for it. Union contract in Bay City, Michigan, for the teachers. A teacher can be caught in school drunk 5 times before they lose their job. Now you tell me, how many times can you get caught drunk at work before you lose your job? Can you say, once, Derek, if you were caught drunk in here, yeah, you'd be gone. And they can get caught 3 times being on drugs before they get fired. You can forget about zero tolerance, you know. The students, it's one thing. Yeah, you're done. You know, they're going to knock you out. Teachers in possession or under the influence of illegal drugs could be caught 3 times before they lost their job, and they get 5 strikes if they're drunk on school grounds. This was incorporated into the Teacher's Master Agreement in 1997. A teacher caught selling drugs in class would get a 3-day suspension without pay with mandatory counseling, but wouldn't be fired unless the teacher did it a second time. Really? You catch a teacher selling drugs in class, and he's not going to get fired. He goes to counseling, and he gets 3 days without pay. Well, 3 days without pay, he probably made a bundle selling the drugs. I'll take the 3 days. It's a weekend off. Are you kidding me? Why is that? Why are we protecting a teacher who sells drugs or is drunk on school grounds during class? What reason could you ever have to justify that in a union contract? Now, Public Act 103 is what Proposal 2 is trying to do. If we vote for Proposal 2, that will renege this and allow this kind of nonsense to continue. Ugh. All right, we'll continue after the break and see you on the other side.
always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham! Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham! For the latest issues discussed by hosts Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Bay Ronex. They stay tuned in for state and local news with Dan Martin, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business with Wham! Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Liz White. A series of bombings in Iraq, at least 23 people reported dead. In Afghanistan, U.S. casualties reached 2,000.
The military says the latest death came in another suspected insider attack. An American service member and a civilian contractor were shot and killed in eastern Afghanistan by a member of the Afghan army.
Fox's Steve Knight. Debate prep underway for both presidential candidates and the Obama camps challenging Mitt Romney's claim that working at Bain Capital gave him the tools to succeed.
Since the Obama campaign is anticipating Mitt Romney is going to try to tout his record at Bain Capital as a reason voters should pick him, the Democrats are starting to round up some folks who used to work at companies owned by Bain Capital to argue otherwise.
Fox's Peter Doocy. Three former employees will speak in swing states this week. The first debate is Wednesday evening. Fox News, we report, you decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Lloyd Carr, former University of Michigan head football coach, will be the celebrity speaker when St. Joseph Mercy Oakland holds its annual Fall Spectacular fundraiser, 6 p.m. Thursday, October 4th at the Townsend Hotel, 100 Townsend Street in Birmingham. Proceeds from this year's event will benefit the hospital's cardiac care unit in the new South Patient Tower. Dinner will be served and an afterglow will follow. Sponsorship opportunities also are available. Tickets are $350 per person. For more information and tickets, call 248-858-3161. The Garden City Farmers Market invites you to come out and shop for the best in fresh-grown produce, as well as baked goods, meats, honey, and much more. The Garden City Farmers Market, located on the northeast corner of Ford Road and Middle Belt in Garden City, is open every Wednesday from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. through October 24th. For more information, call 734-422-4448. The Yankee Air Museum Yankee Gala 2012 will celebrate the B-17 Flying Fortress's contribution to history Saturday, November 10th, and will honor Yankee Award for Valor 2012 recipient Norm Ellickson, the B-17 Yankee Lady Crew Chief. Tickets are $150 per person or $275 per couple if purchased before September 1st. It'll be at the Yankee Air Museum Collections and Exhibit Building, 47884 D Street in Belleville. To learn more, visit YankeeAirMuseum.org or email gala@YankeeAirMuseum.org.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community@whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600. In touch with your community.
If you've never been to the Rock Shop on Gottfredson, get ready to be amazed. To experience the Rock Shop is to see how utterly beautiful your home can be. From a magnificent collection of brick pavers to unlimited possibilities of retaining walls, slate patios, statuary, and fountains. The Rock Shop on Gottfredson has it all, and they'll teach you to install for free. You'll get one-to-one instruction, no charge. The Rock Shop serves the entire Southeast Michigan area as a full supplier of landscaping supplies and materials. Their selection spans across more than 12 acres of property, making the Rock Shop one of the largest hard landscape supply companies in Michigan. Make sure to stop by the Rock Shop in Plymouth, north of M14 at exit 15, southwest corner of Gottfredson Road and North Territorial. Check online at rock-shop.com. That's rock-shop.com. rockshoppe.com or call 734-455-5560.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Well, thank you for catching my drift this Sunday morning. 734-822-1600. If you want to call in and comment on anything we have talked about, or even if we haven't, love to hear your comments. Or you can email me, gary@thedailydrift.com. Our sponsor this half hour is The Current newspaper, currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. The October edition is out online and in print. And we actually have done the flip doc thing for the online version now, so it's a little easier to look at and to go through. It downloads very quickly because it actually goes to a link, so it's not really even downloading anymore. So if you want to advertise in The Current, because we've grown our publication from 5,000 to 35,000 in the course of 5 years now. So that's the kind of growth you really want to see for your business. And if you want to grow with us, call Sam Iaquinto, 734-323-0777, and become part of the fastest-growing newspaper in the country, one of the only growing newspapers in the country probably. That's Sam Iaquinto, 734-323-0777. Now, there's something I wanted to get to for a few weeks. There was a lot of talk about Mitt Romney and his taxes. You know, the guy released 2 years of his taxes. That's all he's required to do. Now, previous presidents have gone back more. But this whole brouhaha started out by Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, who said, you know, Mitt Romney's so filthy rich, he doesn't release his taxes because he doesn't pay any taxes. He's swindling the system. Well, that's kind of nonsense. Harry Reid himself has become a multimillionaire simply by being a U.S. senator. Now, they make about 120 or 150 grand a year, but that's no way, living in Washington, can you become a millionaire on that kind of a salary. And so Mr. Reid has probably been doing a little of his own skullduggery and investing and manipulating to become a millionaire while he's serving in public office. Now, frankly, I think that should be a crime. But Mitt Romney did release a bunch of his taxes, 2 years' worth. And, you know, he ended up paying, it shows, he paid 14.1%. Now, that's capital gains because Mitt's already rich. He paid taxes on the money he earned, invested it, and now that's what he lives on, the investment. So he pays 14%. That's capital gain tax. But what you didn't probably hear from the media is that he donates 30% of his income. Now, he made $13 million on investments last year, okay? He donated $4 million of that to charity. So he's paying his fair share. We've got Tim from Milford calling in. Let's go with Tim and see what he's got to say. Tim, welcome to the show.
Morning.
How are you doing?
I'm okay.
Go ahead. What do you got for me?
Looking to find out if you know where CISPA sits right now. At this point, Mike Rogers, I guess, was near the final signature on that bill. And being that CISPA will be able to hack into your emails and basically government to spy on you further than it does right now.
Hmm. Now, you've got me stumped because I know absolutely nothing about it. I haven't been following that. I think I remember hearing something about it, but I wasn't following it. So that's probably a good question. Do you know any more about it? Can you give us a little background on it?
That's the best I can do right now at this point. I know that it's been like 3 weeks. That it was 3 or 4 weeks that was signed and sent over to the Senate, and I'm not sure if the Senate's done anything with it. I don't even know what House bill number it is.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what I will do for you, Tim. I will make that my homework assignment for next week. I'll look at that. So it's the CISPA, right, about regulating emails. I will look into that, and maybe I can contact Mike Rogers' office. I think I can do that. I've got the email and phone number for his local rep here in Michigan. So I'll take that upon myself to try and get some information for you about that. How's that sound? And
if
and Tim, if you want to send me an email, gary@thedailydrift.com, and then I can email you back if I find something out.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, Gary.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
So we're talking about the taxes that Romney released. So he's paying 14%, okay, but it's capital gains tax. But they're making a big deal like he's trying to hide something. Really, is he hiding anything at all? How about this? Let's talk about Barack Obama. How come he's not releasing information? How about releasing his Occidental College records, which are sealed? How about your Columbia College records? Sealed. Columbia thesis paper? Sealed. Now, you're the president of the United States. Why wouldn't you want people to know about you? Don't you want historians writing books about you? Don't you want people to know about your life, your upbringing, your hard times of how you challenged your way through the United States to become the president of the United States? Why would you want to hide this information? How about your Selective Service registration? Sealed. How about your Harvard College records? Sealed. Your medical records? Sealed. How about your Illinois State Senate schedule and Illinois State Senate records? Sealed. Now, this is a paper we've had on our door down here at the station, and I've been wanting to talk about it because I see it every day or every Sunday when I walk in here. Who hides that kind of information? Don't talk to me about hiding your taxes. He released 2 years of taxes, Mr. Romney did. But what about Mr. Hussein Obama? How about unsealing some of this other stuff? How about a certified copy of original birth certificate? Sealed. We've seen this PDF online, which has multiple layers to it. You don't tell me that's the real birth certificate. Show me the real one. I don't doubt that you were probably born here, but why wouldn't you just give a copy off to everybody? Settle the question. How about your baptism record? Now, why would you hide a baptism record? What is that? Michelle Obama can no longer practice law as an attorney. How come? That's sealed. Why wouldn't you answer that? Did Barack Hussein Obama receive foreign student aid as a college student? Possibly. That might be why all these application records are sealed. I mean, I'm not saying he wasn't born here, but I am saying is he may have pulled some shenanigans to steal money and get federal aid to go to school. And yet you're crying about 2 years, getting more than 2 years from Romney's records? That's nonsense. We have special guest online, Congressman Tim Walberg, 7th District. Tim, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Gary. I'm doing just fine. This is still America. We still have hope. We still have opportunity, and we can make a change on November 6th that could start us back on the right track.
I'm hoping so, Tim. I am so hoping. I'm so glad you called in because, you know, I wanted to hit foreign policy. I'm amazed and disgusted that Barack Hussein Obama would call out Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan saying they have no foreign policy experience. Now, really, does that not smack of hypocrisy to you?
Total hypocrisy, because if you took a test on foreign policy experience as in relationship to results, if you look at Mitt Romney, the foreign policy experience, we could go back to the Olympics, where he had to take a failing Olympics. He had to work with entire world populations of sports people and political people and you name it, and try to make the thing work, turn it around, and he did. And in fact, in Salt Lake City, they're still experiencing benefit from that Olympics that was a successful money-making Olympics and drew the world together. Now we have a president who's talking about experience in world relations, and we've got the world aflame over in the Middle East. We've got our ambassadors dragged through the streets. We've got more deaths taking place in Afghanistan in just recent months than the entire beginning of the Afghan war. And he has a foreign policy experience that we want to continue. Let's get serious.
Yeah, I mean, I was amazed following this Libyan attack from last week. And I've actually got quotes on here. I don't think we're going to go to them because I've got you here. So I think you're as in tune as anything we've seen. First, they claimed it was all about this video. Now, I actually went and saw that video. Did you see that video of...
No, I haven't.
Yeah, don't waste your time. I don't know what it is, but it's not even a video or a movie. It's crap. But they said it was all about the movie, and it was just spontaneous protest. And now we find out they knew within 24 hours that it was indeed a terrorist attack, and yet the media is not banging on them for lying to us.
No, it isn't interesting how the media wants to cover up all of this so that they can have their president reelected. And frankly, I have to call it that way. It's their president. They've decided that this is the guy they want. They wanted him back in 2008. They got that happened with Hope and Change, and a lot of people were sucked in about that. And now we've had the opportunity to see what this Hope and Change has brought. And I don't think we ought to be happy about it, and we certainly shouldn't be proud as the United States of America, the strongest, greatest nation on this earth ever, ever in the history of the world, a young country of 236 years to do so much for not only ourselves but the rest of the world to see our predicament we're in right now, and a president who does not have a clue on what to do next because everything he's done so far has failed. And then we see his foreign policy consists of making a phone call to our greatest ally in the Middle East, one of the greatest nations that support us in the Middle East that has every gun pointed at them, and he won't meet in person with Benjamin Netanyahu for more than 20 minutes, which was his phone conversation, and decide what in the world are we going to do with the Middle East when I think that Netanyahu probably has a better idea on what to do than this president.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they have their plan ready to go, and it's unfortunate that we may or may not support them when they make their move against Iran?
Oh, absolutely. We don't know for sure. I mean, the president talks and stands up and apologizes to the United Nations and gives his appeasement message, but also says that we will not wait forever to see change that does not impact in a negative way Israel. But the actions that he's shown so far, the Middle East have to look at that and say that's just pure rhetoric. If not, code, I'm going to do nothing. So hang on till after the election.
Now, when you saw Susan Rice, the ambassador, continue this lie, frankly, let's just call it a lie. A lie is a lie.
That she was caught in a lie.
Caught in a darn lie. Is there any way to force her to resign? I mean, she was obviously lying to follow what she was told to do, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely. She does not make that statement without significant prepping by, if not the secretary herself, at least the key advisors, saying this is the message we're going to put out here now. That goes on all across politics, and it's proper to prepare so that you make the best statement that will be the statement that is believed and goes on. We would hope that it would be a statement of truth, maybe sometimes a little bit held back for security reasons or whatever, but nonetheless, it ought to be the truth. This was shown to be a bold, bald-faced misstatement, otherwise known as a lie. And she got caught in it, and now they are backpedaling. But if we had a media that was fair, at the very least, and would simply report the facts, you would hear more about this across the media, not just on programs like this.
Yeah, and that's what I've been waiting to see Channel 2, Channel 4, Channel 7, ABC, NBC, to call her out. Say, Ambassador, you lied. Were you just ignorant, or did you lie? And not a word, not a peep.
They will not do that until and if they see the president in a certainty losing this election. Then they will turn on him, I bet. I'm conjecturing here, but I bet they will turn on him just out of disgust and frustration that this president, their liberal, progressive, European socialist-leaning president, would let them down in the opportunity that he had to move this nation in a direction of liberalism and in socialism. And if that happens, then and only then will they turn on this president.
Now, as a congressman, I saw an article that several congressmen were not very happy with the administration's report to Congress on this issue. Were you part of that, or did you hear what came out of that and why they didn't talk to you as much as they talked to the New York Times?
Yeah, we were part of that, and there was just as much discussed there. We were in the House hearing, bipartisan hearing, report from the Secretary of State, Joint Chiefs of Staff, and some intelligence entities, including the FBI, CIA, that were in front of us. And it was a total waste of time. I'm sitting in the back row with Chairman Mike Rogers from Michigan, Chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, and frankly, he did not make it to the end of the report. Just by mere reason of the fact that we weren't getting any new information and we were getting filtered information. And in fact, you're absolutely right. News media got equal to or more than we got in that hearing.
Yeah, and that's outrageous. I mean,
it is outrageous.
I'm just mystified that nobody picks up on this. I mean, I wish I had a bigger venue to talk about this because it just seems unbelievable that the mainstream national media will not pick up on this. Another fact that hit me, and maybe you can tell me a little bit, talking about Afghanistan, under former President George W. Bush, 575 Americans died in Iraq and in Afghanistan, and 3,000 were wounded. That means under Obama, with the present numbers, 1,400 soldiers have died and nearly 15,000.
It's
It's staggering to me that nobody's saying anything about it.
No, I mean, here's a president that's supposed to be great in foreign policy. This guy will protect our nation, and yet we're finding out that Iraq is now starting to go up after the surge worked. And we know it worked. We saw it work. And for that reason, troops were pulled down because, frankly, we were ready to say to the Iraq government, it is yours now. We've given you best shots. You handle it. Then we will go to Afghanistan under new president. With General Petraeus there calling on certain for another surge of major proportions and being pushed back and pushed back and pushed back till finally, I believe, and it's my assertion, not necessarily, you know, could I be asked to prove it, but I think the evidence shows that Petraeus finally grew frustrated that he was not getting the opportunity to do what he felt as a soldier would work best in Afghanistan. And so rather than being being a quitter, he was put into the CIA position. And yet now we've seen with a policy of appeasement, a policy of notification of the enemy, of times and situations, we are finding the saddest result that more of our troops, our warriors that are out there serving our country, doing what they are asked to do with the best possible ability that they have, are now being preyed upon by people that they've trained. Because, frankly, those same people are worried that if the Al-Qaeda, if the terrorist forces know that we're leaving or the Americans are leaving such a time, there's going to be retribution. They're hanging in the weeds waiting for that opportunity, and we're going to pay the penalty for it. So let's get back on the good side of ultimately the group that's going to make a difference in our lives. And now we see our soldiers not only being wounded warriors but dying and being sent home in boxes.
Right. And so do you know of what policy changes that the administration has put into effect in Afghanistan that, I mean, Bush was in control for over 7 years of that Afghan war, and only 30% of the casualties and of the injuries occurred under him. 70% of the deaths and nearly 80% of these injuries in Afghanistan have occurred under Obama, and it's not even been 4 years yet. I mean, what change did he tell? What has he done to the troops to put them in that much more danger? Is it a policy directive?
The number one problem, I believe, and in talking with military myself, some who have just returned from Afghanistan, some who are special ops forces and were over there training the special ops forces of the Afghani army, the number one reason for this taking place is the belief that America has left them in a lurch. They have told the enemy the timeline and have given the enemy the ability to say, we will take our time, we will wait the Americans out, they will be gone, and then with the strength that we have kept in place, we will retake our nation for the terrorist purposes. And so you have, as I said, you have these Afghanis who have been trained by Americans in the best methods of warfare that the Americans can possibly train them in, with resources of ammunition and weapons available to them, now saying, I'm going to prove to those that will determine my life or death after the Americans leave on that date, I'm going to prove to them my loyalty again to them so I'm not taken out. And they're turning out our own people. And our people are given the directions to stand back, and are limited in number and are easily overcome in the cases that I've been told about are easily overcome by Afghani forces who have gone rogue. And that's a dangerous situation to be, a situation of weakness. And this administration has seemingly committed itself to that.
Right. I'll tell you what, I'd hate to be one of the last guys in Afghanistan under Obama when it's time to pull out, because I remember the pullout of Vietnam. I remember the embassy with the helicopter and the people screaming to get on the helicopters. I don't want to see our troops in that kind of position when the last guys leave Afghanistan, you know?
Right.
That
right.
Scares me to death. I don't want our best and brightest warriors slaughtered because of a president who doesn't know what he's doing. And frankly, that's the way it seems to me.
We hope it's simply that he doesn't know what he's doing.
There you go. Well, it's Conspiracy Sunday down here every Sunday on my station. I mean, nobody can be as stupid and make these kind of stupid mistakes. I do not believe the man is stupid. I honestly want to believe that there's more to it than that. I don't want to believe it, I guess, but I have to believe it because the mistakes are too many to be sheer stupidity.
Watch the movie 2016. I'm sure you have.
I have not yet seen it. I've been looking for it, and I got to find the time to go see it. I have not yet seen that movie, but I want to. I've heard a lot about it.
Your listeners need to see that movie or read the book, even better. But the movie is a good one to see. Very well done with great research. Dinesh D'Souza is not a quack, and being president of the King's College in New York City establishes some significant credentials. I think all of you would do well listening to the sound of my voice to see 2016.
Right. Well, let me ask you this, too, Tim, since it was just a vote. I know Morsi came and spoke to the UN, that's the Egyptian president, and he was asking for the blind sheikh to be cut loose and freed. Well, they're saying he's going to serve out his sentence in Egypt. I'm sure he'll be living in a luxury hotel somewhere. But then Obama turned around and wanted to give $450 million to the Egyptian government, and you guys turned it down, thankfully, or at least stalled it up?
We stalled it up, and yet the administration, any administration, has some significant flexibility in how they resource the projects they want to resource through the executive budget and the various departmental budgets. So it'll be continued effort. I think at this point in time, Morsi has been handled with kid gloves, when in fact, he should be taken into a room and shaken very strongly with strong words of what America expects of him if he is going to be our ally and expect our support. I mean, it's an ugly part of the world that we have to deal with that has a very different culture, and we have to understand that. They will not be America. It will not be American democracy. And yet, the friend of our, the enemy of our enemy is generally our friend, but we still have to tell those people, you will not be an enemy of our enemy plus an enemy of our, of the United States as well. You've got to make your pick. And we are going to expect some significant things out of you. And this president, unlike Reagan, unlike George W. Bush, does not have the moral clarity, the strength of position to stand up and tell this, this president, Morsi, a member of the Muslim Brotherhood established by them, put in place, that gives some credentials that ought to be a concern to us already. But nonetheless, he is still to be an ally of the United States. And if he isn't, then we better know it now and take action.
Right. And, for me, it's like these extremists in the Middle East are smelling blood in the water. They're like sharks. They can sense the weakness. They can sense the fact that he's doing everything wrong. And so they get bolder and bolder, and thus we get the Benghazi attack, which kills our ambassador.
Well, they don't smell blood in the water. They smell plasma. Less than that, they understand we're very weak.
Right, right. Well, Tim, you're running again for Congress. What's website?
My website is walbergforcongress.com.
Okay, well, Tim, anything we can do to help you, you're one of our greatest supporters, and we'd love to make sure that you get into office again. So anytime, you are welcome on the show. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, Gary. Have a great day.
You too. All right, for the rest of you, do your homework this week. Do those proposals, and make sure you know what you're talking about. Until next week, we'll see you then.